Lord God, I just ask that as we are in this times, and it's turbulent times, it's times of turbulence, and yet it's times of peacefulness. There is a time of this season that we are in that goes up and down and back and forth, and our emotions can be all over the spectrum. And yet, Lord, I just give you thanks that you are present. And as that song reminds us, that we can walk out on the waters with you. So I pray that wherever we are in the places we are coming together to be digitally together this morning, wherever we are physically, you would also make your presence known. And that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and the preparations that have come before might help each and every one of us to have the hope in you. And may draw closer to you, God. So that's my prayer. And I pray this through Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. 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 So we are living in most, I'm going to call it unusual times. You know this, right? Many conversations I've been having and using words that, expressions that reflect a very unpredictable times that we are experiencing, we are in right now. Some businesses are closed. Some are open. Some have signs that say you have to wear a mask, and some say you don't have to wear a mask. There's a lot of confusion and a lot of concern. There's a lot of concern, right? And we all have concerns. We all have concerns. In this time, in this season, I have found myself being introspective. And I've realized that this crisis is making emotions more sensitive. It's bringing emotions up. I find myself really being on a roller coaster of emotions. Really. And you know what? I have to tell you, the adrenaline of that first hill, the beginning of the ride, that wore off quite a while ago. Right? Now it feels pretty monotonous. It's kind of like every day feels like the day before. Monday is Monday, and Tuesday feels like Monday, and Wednesday feels like Monday, and Thursday feels like Monday. And it's kind of like Bill Murray in that movie Groundhog Day. I mean, now, so we're in this, and we're in this season. Last week, as I was speaking, I was sharing about loss, because we have all lost something. During this crisis, we've all lost something. Maybe it was a matter of you lost your schedule or your routine. That has changed and you've just lost it. It's like, whoa, that's all gone out the window. I looked at our calendar this past week and I thought, wow, usually it's just plastered with things. And there's only a few things written on it. We've all lost something. Maybe you've lost the ability to go and do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. Maybe that's what you've lost. Maybe you've lost other things. Maybe you've lost a loved one during this time. Maybe you've just lost, and this is also a big one, being able to personally connect. You know, we are as human beings, we are people that want to connect. We are people that it is in our DNA of our soul to connect and to be with one another. So that in itself is a loss. And as I spoke about last week, in all of these various levels of losses that we are experiencing, and no one's loss is just like your loss, so we don't need to compete over it or do anything like that, but it is helpful. It is helpful to acknowledge what we're experiencing and to acknowledge that we are experiencing loss. That is helpful for us, because if we just avoid dealing with the loss and we pack it down, eventually it will emerge. In fact, it'll probably explode, and that's not good. But the good news is, and this is what I shared last week, you can tune into that message if you want to remember it, or if you just say, I didn't get a chance to watch that and be a part of that, and you want to tune in and worship with us last week, the way we did it last week on that loss, please do. Because the good news is God invites us to share our emotions. whether we're frustrated, whether we're angry, whether we're concerned, whether we're upset, whether we're afraid, or even if, like David in the psalm that I shared last week, Psalm 13, when David said, "How long, O Lord? How long?" David asked that question, and he was crying out to God. David really teaches us some things. He tells us it's okay to talk to God even when we're frustrated. No matter what we're feeling, it's okay to share that with God, to bring that before God and say, "This is how I'm feeling." Be honest about how you're feeling and do that with God. Maybe you're feeling disconnected and you feel like, "I can't even connect. I don't even feel God's presence here. I don't know where God is." That's exactly where David was. And then he teaches us a very powerful thing here. He says in verse 5, he does, I'll use that one of those words that's come up in our vocabulary now because of all this stuff. He pivots. He does this pivot thing where he says, "But I trust in your unfailing love, O Lord, because I rejoice in your salvation." The unfailing love that David is talking about in that Psalm 13 is simply the love that's not an emotional love. It's the connection love. It's the covenantal love is what we call it from the Old Testament. It's the kind of love that it's the person that you know has your back. That's the kind of love we're talking about here. It's not an emotional love. It's, "I know this person has my back. I know God has my back. I know God has me and is with me. I know that." That's just a knowing. That's the kind of love that he is talking about. It's the unfailing love that will never let you down. It's the unfailing love that will never leave you. It'll never forsake you. That's the unfailing love that it is. That God's got you no matter what. That's the kind of love. And then David gave us an active thing to do, and he says, "Sing to the Lord." Sing praises to the Lord. And that's one of those things that singing does all sorts of things to us, both physically, because you start to open your mouth, you breathe oxygen, you fill your lungs. So there's a physical thing that happens, but deeper than that, it's our heart and soul that gets transformed. And as we sing, we're reminded of God's faithfulness. Now that means I'm recommending you sing praise songs. You sing songs like those that we've sung so far here. Maybe it's those traditional music of your faith that you're singing. Whatever songs bring you to that place, those are the songs I'm referring to. Sing those songs about God, about God's faithfulness, about God's just peace, and about God's strength and courage that he can give you. Because when you do that, it reminds you that even in this broken world, God is with us. Now today, I want to talk about hope. And I want to talk about real hope. Not a hope that it'll all work out. Not that kind of hope. Not a hope that, you know, it'll be over soon, we'll move on. It'll be just like it was. I don't know if it will. Not that kind of hope. I want to talk about a hope, because hope that is helpful has to be anchored. It has to be anchored. If hope is not anchored, when the storms of uncertainty come, and as we know, we're there, the worry, fear, when those storms rage in our life, unanchored hope is really no hope at all. It'll set you adrift. We need a real hope in our life, an anchored hope, hope that brings encouragement. Each one of us needs a hope that brings security, that gives us security, hope that provides us with peace, personal, inner peace. To have that kind of hope, it's essential that your hope is in the right place. Even in this season that we are in, finding hope is possible. As a matter of fact, I would say that it is essential that we find and have and secure and anchor ourselves to this specific hope. And again, beware about where you put your hope, because misplaced hope is more dangerous than not having hope at all. So this morning, I want to share with you about real hope. Real hope. I also am going to mention this the obstacle that's in our way to experiencing that hope. How can you secure this hope? That's what I want to share with you this right now. So during this quarantine, I mentioned this, I've been experiencing a variety of feelings. And actually, some have been like polar opposites. On the one hand, I've kind of felt like I should be capitalizing on every minute because it seems like I've had a little bit more time and a little bit more. So I've been feeling like I need to get all of those things on my to-do list done. You know, the to-do list, I run a to-do list of everything. But anyways, I have a to-do list of things around the house and to catch up on everything. And maybe I should learn something new. And I have all these lists and I feel like I should be getting all of that done. I have accomplished a few of those, but I felt like I've also had a pressure because I haven't been able to get all of them done. And all of a sudden I'm feeling like, well, I don't have the time. And then I realize, well, I do have the time, but what it really is I lack discipline. And well, that kind of bothers me. But then I also realize, kind of on the other hand, I realize that in this uncertainty that we are living in, it is emotional. And feeling and experiencing these emotions is consuming. And I said, I really just need to cut myself some slack. So maybe with all of these emotions that can be exhausting, and each of us need to assess personally and then decide, maybe what you really need right now is to just cut yourself some slack. Just cut yourself some slack. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. Maybe that's all you needed to hear today is just cut yourself some slack. Relax. Take a break. Everything we're dealing with consumes so much emotional energy. But then there's the other side of that is I have to remind myself, and I'd remind you, be careful because that can be a slippery slope, cutting myself too much slack. All of a sudden, I can start feeling sorry for myself. And when I feel sorry for myself, that doesn't work a whole lot because when I feel sorry for myself, I start... As I'm doing that, the decisions I make are not decisions that are really great. They're not the decisions that I need to be making that are healthy and are great decisions. In fact, sometimes when I'm feeling really sorry for myself, I think, well, you know, you shouldn't be doing that or someone else shouldn't be doing that kind of thing. You shouldn't be doing it because of how I'm feeling. And that frustration and disappointment kind of spills out on others. And that's not a good response either. When I'm feeling sorry for myself, it's easy to end up just in a rut. Just to end up in a rut. And that's not a place to live either. So untethered emotions can lead to confusion, can lead to frustration, can lead to fear. When this happens, anything in our life that is uncertain, when occurrences happen with us, when we're experiencing, especially things that are deep and are emotional, especially when we're in a time such as this, when it's difficult to even connect, we need a hope. And as I was referring to the phrase that hope is the anchor for our soul, we need to be held. We need to be held. We need to know that we are secured. If you've ever been out in a boat, you know, I sailed one time with some friends. We were on a 36-foot sailboat, and we went out on Lake Ontario. I didn't have any idea how big the lake was. It was big enough so we couldn't see land anymore. It's that big. It's a huge lake and we're out in this boat. But anyways, in the evening time we anchored. And I, for one, wanted to make sure we're in the same place in the morning as we went at night, if you know what I mean. So I was really appreciated. I really appreciated having a great anchor and making sure we were anchored in because that held us. And we knew we were secure. We knew we were safe. We actually had a great thunderstorm that came through one night. And I was glad we were anchored well. Because we need individually a hope that will anchor us, that will anchor our soul. Hebrews 6:19 talks about we need this hope. We have this hope. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. See, God's perspective on hope is exemplified through the history of God's people. We can look back at history and see where God has been with people for years and years, for generations, for generations. Today I want to talk about this hope from a perspective of Paul and what he was teaching about hope. that this hope that can be such an anchor for our soul, for our lives, that's the kind of hope we need right now. The kind of hope that will hold us. Not the kind of hope that says, oh, I hope it'll be back to normal or stuff like that. That's empty hope. That's hollow. That doesn't get us anywhere. We need the kind of hope that will hold us, especially in uncertain times. So I want to look at Romans 5. If you already opened up your Bible or your Bible app or whatever you use to read the Bible, I encourage you to do that. I'm even going to ask you today or encourage you to maybe do some underlining or some circling of some words right in your Bible. I know for some of us, when I first started doing that, I thought, oh, can I do that? Yes, you can. I highly recommend you write right in your Bible. If you downloaded the message notes, you have those as well. But you can write right in the margins, put some notes right in your Bible. It's very helpful. And I would suggest this week, maybe you come back to Romans 5 and look at it again to anchor into this that Paul is talking about. Now, Paul, as he writes this, you need to know a little bit about Paul. He was trained as an attorney. He was a theologian, so he was trained religiously, and he was trained as an attorney. But as an attorney, of course, he was very logical and linear in his thinking and in his explanation of hope. Paul is not the easiest one to understand, so let's kind of walk through this together. So it starts like this, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to stop right there and just say, therefore, is the connector between the previous four chapters. It's bringing us connecting to these chapters. Paul has spent those first four chapters discussing and teaching about justification through faith. Justification through faith means salvation that God gives. That's what it means, salvation that we have. It's the freedom that we have to have a relationship with God, an open relationship with God. It's not the result of being this salvation, this connecting, this justification we have. It doesn't come to us because we are members of a certain church or a church. It doesn't come to us because we grew up in a certain family or were birthed into a certain family. It doesn't come to us because I have a fish sticker on the back of my car. That might be cool and it's nice and all that. It doesn't come because I've checked Christian on the Facebook profile. That's not the way it comes. All that is wonderful and can be great. But where justification through faith, it's because of the faith we have. It's the faith we have in Jesus. And very specifically, the faith we have in Jesus and his death and his resurrection. Right? Being a Christian means putting your faith in Jesus, in Jesus himself, who justifies each follower of Jesus. It's faith in Jesus that justifies each follower. It's our faith in him that justifies us. As the passage goes on, I'll read a little bit more. Therefore, since we have been justified, if you're following along, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, peace, most everyone wants peace. Most everyone wants peace. In fact, most everyone wants peace with God. Living in this season of turbulence, wouldn't it be great to have a depth of peace? Paul says one of the greatest benefits of a relationship with Jesus is the peace that comes with it. That's a different view from what some people have. Because some people, most all people believe in God, believe that there is a God, that there is a being, there is a God. Some people believe as long as you do more good things than bad things, you know, you're in good position, you're in good standing with God. But Paul says that's not the way it works. Paul says there's something even better. There's something even better. And Paul is talking about the peace that right in the middle of uncertainty, right in the middle of even fear or turbulent times, this going on that's outside of us, all of these things that are going on outside of us, we have the ability to have peace because of the faith that we have that can lead to this internal peace with God. That's the kind of peace that we can have no matter what the market closes at, no matter what is happening in the country or the world. It doesn't even matter if I'm sick or if I'm well. It's the kind of peace that's possible when you have faith and put our faith, our trust and our obedience in Jesus, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. Access by faith into this grace. This is a kind of a difficult section to really comprehend. This is a profound statement here. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg, really, because theologians have debated this for ages. Did grace come first or did faith come first? But what scholars agree that the faith that we have in Jesus is the agency that opens the door to a relationship with God and God's grace. The grace that he has given us saves us. The grace that God has given us makes you his son or his daughter. It's through that grace. Once we put our faith in Jesus, we have access to this grace. This is what is offered to us by following Jesus. You know, the ability to function right now is by God's grace. The ability to function when you're down and you're struggling and you're just saying, how am I going to make it another day? It's by God's grace that you make it another day. In this season, this time we're in, I've just had this sense of a higher awareness of the frailty of life. It's not that the frailty of life has changed. I've just become more aware of it. I hope you're more aware of it as well. Because I hope as we get through this crisis, we get through this season, I hope we stay in touch with how dependent we are on God's grace every single day. How dependent we are on God's grace every single day, and how God opens that door and allows us to have access to him through Jesus. Paul tells us that followers of Jesus can actually brag about the hope that we have. You know, it even says we can be more closely translated as rejoicing in hope, that we can rejoice in this hope. And why can we rejoice in the hope? Why? Because we have the kind of hope that is anchored, an anchor for our soul. It's that kind of hope that we have. It's the kind of hope that you can depend on. You can rely on. It is always available to you. It will always hold on to you even when you can't hold on any longer. God's grace will hold on to you. But be careful as we look, as we seek hope and faith. Hope has to be anchored, right? Hope, hoping for hope, like, oh, I hope I get the job. I hope I get the job done. I hope I do well here. I hope putting hope in another person, that I hope we'll be back to normal soon. That is a kind of hope that is not anchored. That is not a kind of hope that will hold you. That's a kind of hope that will lead to drifting, that will lead you to not having help, especially in the turbulent times. Back to that Hebrews passage, we have this hope that is an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. As Christians, followers of Jesus, we place our hope in a person, in Jesus. We place our hope in Jesus. You know, we specifically have hope in Jesus because we believe in Jesus. We believe Jesus. That's why we can brag about this hope. We can boast about this hope, because even in turbulent times, even if I don't get things the way I want to get them, even if things don't go the way I want them to go, hope based on God is anchored in Jesus. That's the kind of hope that we can rejoice in, knowing that we are in his presence, that he is holding us. Paul builds on this. In verse 3 of Romans 5, he says this: "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know our sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And that hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our lives, into our hearts, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Right here, Paul tells us that we can actually rejoice. We can boast. We can have hope because our hope is anchored in God. And Paul talks about finding meaning in the season and the difficulty. Even when things are upside down, we can have meaning when we secure and hold our hope in God. The Message paraphrase, if you're familiar with that translation of that Eugene Peterson did, which is a very much a paraphrase, so it's like reading a book. It's much more flowing sometimes than the Bible is itself, but it's a fun thing to read. I like the way he phrases some things. He says this. He says, hey, don't worry. There is more to come. We continue. We can shout our praises to the Lord, even when we are hemmed in. We can shout our praises to the Lord. We can do that. You know, and that's implying that saying, hold on, because things are going to get better. Hold on, because God has you. That's how it's possible, right, to rejoice in suffering, even when it's difficult, because we can hold on to God and know that God has a hold of us. And the reason that we can know that even in difficult times, in uncertainty, even when we're suffering. See, God makes our suffering matter because we matter to God. God cares about you. God doesn't take away our suffering. We live in a broken world. He doesn't take away that suffering, but he makes our suffering matter. He brings beauty from ashes. He brings light out of and even into the darkness. That's what God does. God can make something very good out of something that's difficult. He can bring something good out of something that's very difficult. It doesn't matter what we're going through or what we're suffering. God can make the suffering matter. God can make that matter. God can make something good out of suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. See, this tells us that suffering builds in us the ability to make it through when we're with God, when we're anchored with God, that we can persevere. You know, it's kind of like, well, for those of you who have been to the gym, or maybe you're working out now, or maybe you're walking right now, we've got some beautiful weather to be out walking, and maybe you're I'll call it speed walking. Maybe you're on your treadmill, or exercise itself can be so difficult, right? Going to the weight room can be so difficult. I mean, who wants to push weights and do treadmill and all that kind of stuff and get tired and sweaty? Who wants to do that? But what that builds is resilience. What that builds is muscle. And that's how you grow. In seasons of suffering, God builds in us the ability to persevere and even thrive in seasons of suffering. Even when we're in the middle of difficult circumstance, when we are anchored to God and we are depending on God, God gives us the ability to grow, and he gives us the ability to persevere and to keep going. God is building something in you right now that you will use perhaps tomorrow, but in the future you will use. If you'll tune into him, if you'll really connect with him and let him be your hope today. It says, Paul says, perseverance builds character. Character is that ability that you can. Character is the doing the right thing even when no one's looking. Character is the tool to help you get through. And Paul is saying through seasons of suffering, that perseverance, staying anchored to him, helps build character in us. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance builds character. Character builds hope. Everyone who has a strong sense of character, one of the things I've noticed, people that have a strong sense of character understand that living in this world, life is bigger than just me. It's not all just about me. There's more to the world, more to life than just me. That there's someone greater who does hold it all together. Maybe God is using this season to build perseverance, and perseverance to build character, so that we might be able to hold our hope even more so in God. Maybe that's what God is doing right now. He's helping people draw to Him and also hold on to Him, and to have our hope anchored in Him, in Jesus. Every day matters, and therefore every day we spend with Jesus matters, and Jesus makes every day in our life matter when we're anchored to Him. And our hope, in verse 5 it says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How could hope put us to shame? I don't know if you've ever, you know, I'm pulling this apart, but I'm saying, how could hope put us to shame? If you put your hope in the wrong thing, you know, you could be put to shame. If you put your hope in the wrong thing, we've all been let down by somebody. We put our hope in someone and they let us down. Or maybe we put our hope in something and it let us down. So hope can put us to shame. So be very careful to put your hope in the right things. And I want to caution you, because be careful not to put your hope in promises that God has not made. There's a lot of things that come out and people start talking about. We can be tempted to say things or think things like, well, God will heal all of this. God hasn't said that. God will work in all of this. Or God has not said, oh, it's all going to be fine. We'll all be fine. Well, it will all be good. God hasn't said that. God has said He will be with us. He will guide us. He will bring us comfort and He will bring us peace when we're anchored to Him. Or we'll all be better off after this. God hasn't said that. Maybe some of us will, or a few of us, but that's not what God has said. Right? So don't hang on. Be careful what promises you hang on to. Make sure you hang on to the promises of God. Following Jesus, you know, following Jesus does, it makes me better at what I do, and it makes me better every day in my life. And it also makes me better at life and dealing with life. That's why I follow Jesus. That's a key piece of why I follow, because I know, and obviously, He's got my salvation. And I'm assured a place with Him forever, and it makes my life so much better now. But following Jesus doesn't prevent suffering. It doesn't stop sickness. Following Jesus doesn't make you wealthy. Right? Following Jesus doesn't ensure that you won't have trouble or pain. Jesus told us that. So what is the right kind of hope? Let's look at this. Hope, in verse 5, it says this. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love. You might want to circle that. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love is the hopeful reminder that God is constant. God's love pursues and prevails even when it's hard, even when life is difficult. God's love prevails. That's what the whole history that we have captured for us in the Bible tells us, that God's love prevails. God's love is faithful. God's love is with us, with all who follow Him. He's with everyone, but with all who follow Him can feel and experience Him and can know. God's love is here. God's love is a constant reminder of God's presence with us. And it's, again, it's not just an emotional thing. It's something that we have to connect with intellectually and in our soul. That's why we anchor to Him. We anchor to Jesus for our hope. If you're unsure about God's love for you, I would simply say, look to the cross. Look to the cross, because the cross is the greatest declaration of God's love for you. God's love is not contingent on your behavior. God's love is continually, and that it's a power that we can't even fathom. But God loves you, and God cares deeply for you. Right? God's love is a reminder that we can hang in there, and we can deal with what is in front of us because God is with us. That's God's love. So I pray that all of us can have a deeper understanding and this theology of hope, that we can have a deeper understanding of this that will empower us to anchor ourselves to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who opens the door for us, the one that holds us, the one that will hold us if we offer ourselves to him and connect with him. You know, when we sailed out in that huge lake that seemed like an ocean, and some of you have sailed in huge places, but we had to go over and anchor into the place to anchor. Each one of us has to take that moment and connect with God. And that's how we connect with Jesus. As we connect with Jesus, as we anchor in with him, that's when we get our hope. So take that time. Maybe it's a few minutes today. Maybe it's just a few minutes in the morning, in the afternoon. I encourage you to take some time. Read through these passages that I spoke of today. But take some time to anchor in to Jesus, because he will give you the hope that you need. And in the process of this time, he will help you. And, you know, we're going to build that perseverance. And it doesn't mean it's easy, but it means that we can when we are anchored to him, when we're hanging on to him, and we know that he is hanging on to us. God loves you as his son, as his daughter. That's why hoping in him is the best place, the only place to have real hope. Because God's love is very real, and God loves you even in this unusual season. When you depend on God, you can have his hope, real hope. Let's pray together. Dear God, I give you thanks for this day, and I thank you for the words of Paul. What incredible acknowledgement it is that you are with us all the time. Lord, I'm thankful that David called out to you and through the Psalms so often is crying out to you and saying, God, where are you? And he reminds us that we can open our hearts to you, that we can just cry out to you. We can be honest about our feelings. And Lord, in this time, in this season where our emotions may be very, very sensitive, Lord, help us to have the courage to hang on to you and know that you are hanging on to us. And Lord, I pray for that individual or the couple people that are just wanting to connect with you, Jesus, that never have said, yes, I want an anchor in my life. Or maybe they've been away and they just aren't connected with you anymore. And they're saying, I need that grace in my life that connects, that breaks those chains that have been holding me back, that just gives me the hope that I need. I pray, Lord, for those individuals, and I pray that they would just open their heart. Lord, just if you're that person, just open your heart to Jesus and say, yes, Jesus, I want to anchor to you. I want you to be the one that holds me. I want you to be the one that I follow. I want you to be the one that I'm connected with. And help me, Lord, to let go of what I've been following or putting first in my life and open my heart to you, Jesus. Please receive me, and sorry for what I've done. And may I open my heart to you, Jesus. And as you do this, God, I pray that you would just fill them with your love. For those who have been felt very distant, Lord, I pray that you would just open and fill them. Let their emotions flow free, and let them just know that today is the day that you have come for them. That today is the day that they have come before you, and you are open to receive them. That it's not about a family, it's not about a connection with individual people or how well that I've been doing or how many good things, but it's about connecting and anchoring ourselves to Jesus. So thank you that you have, God, the grace that says, welcome. Welcome to become a child of God. And I pray that you would guide us all in these days ahead. And as we stand and sing this song together, let's stand and sing about the amazing grace that God has for each one of us that breaks the chains of uncertainty, that breaks the chains that we don't have to know everything. We just need to know Jesus to go forth in his peace with his grace and with his hope. Let's stand and sing together.